It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. Broadcasting on 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station. We're broadcasting up here on Signal Hill, where it is 34 degrees, wind speeds 3 miles per hour out of the west. The Weather Service is predicting a 20% chance of rain after noon. Mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 44, southwest winds to 10, increasing to 15, could gust as high as 25 today. They are expected to turn to the west this evening and come up to 35 miles per hour after midnight. Mostly cloudy skies this evening, becoming mostly clear gradually overnight. Low around 34 tonight. Well, it was a cold November in Kodiak, but we're not really sure exactly how cold. We have some book ideas for people on your gift list. Southeast Alaska Regional Tribal Government will be piloting its new broadband internet program in Wrangell. And Homer Electric Association is announcing its biggest case of electricity theft to date.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. As Christmas fast approaches, President Biden says inventories and the supply chain are in good shape.
Today, retail inventories are up 3% from last year. Inventories are healthy, and on-shelf availability before the pandemic was about 91%. Today, it's at 90%. 90%.
Meeting with advisors in person and business leaders on Zoom, President Biden declared that while he's concerned about the rising cost of living in general, going into the holidays, the nation should be confident about fuel prices.
Gas prices in 21 states now are at their historic averages before the pandemic. Historic averages. That's good news for Americans hitting the road this week.
Fred Smith, the CEO of FedEx, said supply chain issues are not all solved, but he said his company was optimistic about moving products during the peak season. President Biden is extending pandemic relief for tens of millions of federal student loan borrowers. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports.
In March of 2020, as the pandemic set in, Congress granted borrowers a reprieve on their federal loan payments. Interest was set to 0% and collections stopped. The pause has since been extended multiple times. Biden's latest action comes as the Omicron variant is spiking across the country. In a statement from the White House, President Biden said, quote, "We know that millions of student loan borrowers are still coping with the impacts of the pandemic and need some more time before resuming payments." The statement urges borrowers to prepare for repayments to resume, now scheduled for May 1st. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is suing the House Select Committee investigating January 6th to block subpoenas for information and testimony. NPR's Deirdre Walsh reports Flynn joins a growing list of the former president's allies who are refusing to cooperate with the investigation.
The January 6th committee subpoenaed Flynn in November, requesting documents and testimony. The panel specifically wants information about a meeting Flynn reportedly attended in the Oval Office on December 18, 2020, where participants talked about destroying voting machines and declaring a national emergency. Flynn's lawsuit argues the scope of the committee's request is too broad and raises constitutional concerns. Others who were subpoenaed and have sued the panel include right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who was held in contempt of Congress. Deirdre Walsh, NPR News.
The U.S. has authorized the first COVID-19 pill. The drug called Paxlovid was developed by Pfizer. It can be taken at home to ward off the worst effects of the virus. Used early on, it dramatically reduces the risk of hospitalization and death. This comes amid a rising tide of new Omicron infections. This is NPR.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Data from federal meteorologists suggests this past November may have been one of the coldest on record in Kodiak. Temperatures weren't record-breaking officially, but that might be because of a technicality. Joe Wegman is a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Anchorage.
Unfortunately, we can't say for sure. And the reason is because the measuring equipment out there was broken for the first 9 days of the month.
The information they do have points to much colder weather than normal. Temperatures dipped anywhere from 2 to 24 degrees below the average from November 10th through the 30th. The last time it was almost that cold was a decade ago. Wegman says an unusually strong and persistent cold air dome over much of the state was to blame for last month's frigid temperatures. That weather has lingered into December, but Kodiak Island should see some relief over the next week.
We're definitely over the next several days, definitely looking at more influxes of warmth and Pacific moisture coming into the state in general.
Weather models say another cold blast might hit the island by the end of the month. Holiday season is in full swing, and if you're still looking for a gift for someone on your list, you might consider buying them a book. KDLL's Sabine Pooks asked Peggy Mullen and Monica Heath from River City Books in Soldotna about their book recommendations this season, and boy, did they have some ideas, especially for younger readers. Heath starts with one of her favorites, A Boy Called Christmas by Matt Haig. She used to read it to her third grade class.
When I first read it, I didn't know how long it was, and I had it on a Kindle, so I couldn't tell. And I read it to the kids, but I didn't quite finish it. And then after Christmas break, I'm like, well, should we go back to that book? And they're like, yes, yes. Anyway, it's great, and Netflix just came out with a movie, which is really cute, too. But the book's even better.
I have three favorite children's books for various reasons. This lovely little book is board book. It's indestructible. It's the first book you would read with a baby who chews on corners. And it's called I Would Tuck You In. The artist is the man of the couple, and the woman who wrote the text is the wife. And they're from Juneau. It's all Alaska animals. And this is the book, if you come in with a new baby, I tuck it in the little baby holder. For our customers, because I love it so much. And then this book is by a longtime Shannon Cartwright, who was one of the original Alaska book illustrators. She wrote with Shelley Gill probably several wonderful Alaska books. And we did not see anything by her for a few years. So this book came out. It's a beautiful story about Alaska's animals, you and I. And at the very end of the book, she explains why we had not seen anything from her. She got an implant in her brain. She was not able to draw. She was so shaky. And then this is my favorite book for art. It's an incredible... I had to look up lino cuts because I was calling them woodblock prints, but they're actually linoleum block prints. Wow. It's a Ketchikan artist named Yvonne Zerbitz. It's called Dream Flights on Arctic Nights. Anyway, Monica has a nice little stack of kid books.
Okay, this is a book I read this year. It's Gary Paulson's Gone to the Woods. And Gary Paulson is... I just had a lot of, when I taught, I taught from first grade through fifth grade, mostly in lower elementary, but when I taught more upper elementary, there were so many boys who were hooked on reading by Gary Paulson's books. And so I was really interested to read this one because it's basically an autobiography. And it was really fascinating, very, very good. I just really enjoyed that one. This I just thought was such a beautiful book. And it's all about, it's called Sunrise Summer. And... it's all about fishing, but it's the set netters. So it talks about going and it explains, the pictures are great, but it also talks about how it all works. You know, they wait for the salmon and they get out and keep busy, they mend the nets, and then keep an eye on the tides and getting all geared up. And then this one is special just because I really appreciated Amanda Gorman's poem. at the inauguration. It's called Change Sings, A Children's Anthem. And it's just, just a beautiful book with her beautiful language. Just talking about her hopes and dreams, I think, for the country. I think it's always nice to remember you can get a gift certificate, too, because sometimes people really want to get a book, but they're stumped, or they don't know that they've already had them. So that's just something I remind people that if you're really stumped, you know, a gift certificate's always nice.
And especially when a child becomes their own reader.
Right.
You can buy beautiful picture books to read aloud to them and that sort of thing, but once somebody hits about 10, they really need a gift certificate, or you need to spy on them and have their mom tell you what they're reading.
Southeast Alaska's regional tribal government will pilot its new broadband internet program in Wrangell, which says it will be available to everyone on the island. KSTK's Sage Smiley has this report.
Last year, the Federal Communications Commission opened up a special program to allow rural tribes to secure broadband licenses to improve connectivity. Hundreds of tribes applied, more than a third in Alaska. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska announced on December 17th that it got its license. In a nutshell, the FCC has granted the regional tribe exclusive use of a mid-band broadband spectrum in a number of southeast communities. Chris Cropley, one of Tlingit and Haida's network architects, says it's for the 2.5 gigahertz spectrum, the same tech used by cell phone LTE networks.
We're starting in Wrangell. It's the perfect, it's the Goldilocks, as they say, right? So it's got everything going for it. We got a lot of people there, relatively. We own the 2.5 there, and we have funding for it.
The tribe is calling its broadband service Tidal Network. It'll just be home internet, not mobile data service. But all the same, it'll need to build its own towers so that wireless internet can be broadcast directly to homes and businesses that don't already have reliable internet access.
Anywhere that's already served, we're not interested in serving. So if you have a cable modem to your house, fiber optic to your house, if you've got good service to your home or downtown, we're not really super interested in replacing that with something else. We're not looking to displace DCI or ACS or AT&T or anybody, right?
Wrangell is ideal because there are people with spotty service, he says. Cropley says residents living towards the southern end of the 14-mile stretch of Zamovia Highway would be good candidates for Tidal Network. Cropley says that when the FCC opened applications for broadband licenses to rural tribes, Tlingit and Haida worked together with other tribes to apply for areas not already being applied for by the local tribal entities. That way, they wouldn't overlap. Once the service is in place, Tlingit and Haida will be required to defend it, meaning they have to offer internet service to 80% of the area's population within the first 2 years of holding the license and full coverage after 5 years. Tlingit and Haida began working to get its license back in 2019, and federal pandemic relief it's received since will help pay for the project that Cropley says will begin small and portable.
We are buying two what we call cows. Cell on wheels, and they are towers on a trailer with a generator and a little cabinet underneath, and they extend out, and we're able to stand them up, and they have radio microwave on them, and they accept fiber optic, and we're able to wire them up or wireless them up and begin starting to provide service on those towers.
Permanent towers can cost upwards of $500,000 and come with miles of red tape. Cropley says the pieces are already in place to get started now, though. He says he has a multi-million dollar budget headed to Wrangell for the pilot broadband project, but declines to say precisely how much. Once the details are worked out, it'll operate as a subscription service with different plans, just like any other internet provider. Cropley says the goal is to provide the best possible internet at the lowest possible price.
I don't want to be like, oh, we're going to come in and blow everybody's, internet away. We're just looking at finding the most people with the least internet or no internet, ideally, and providing them internet where they didn't have it before, where they had to use a satellite.
The pilot project in Wrangell is just that, a test. It'll help flesh out the program, from the tech itself to collaboration with other vendors, policies, and provide training to Tidal Network employees.
There's a reason that somebody isn't already doing this, right? There's no gold mine at the end of the road here. It is a service.
And Cropley says providing the internet is really only half of the battle. Digital literacy education will be an integral part of the program.
Great. So we bring the internet to people, big deal. Internet's only half the battle. It's teaching people how to use it, making sure they're using it correctly. We're going to be providing in-home routers that do Wi-Fi optimization and prioritization so that we're able to facilitate working from home, school from home. We're not just dropping internet off on your roof and saying good luck.
With cooperation from Wrangell's local government and tribal government, the Wrangell Cooperative Association, Cropley says Hlinka and Haida hopes to have the network up and running by spring of 2022. And after piloting the program in Wrangell, Cropley says they hope to expand to more than 20 other Southeast Alaska communities in the coming years. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Homer Electric Association is suing a Sterling man for stealing what they say is more than $325,000 in power over 7 years, the co-op's biggest reported instance of electricity theft to date. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has this story.
The lawsuit was filed Friday in Homer District Court. It alleges Sterling resident Max Finch used a wiretap for years to avoid paying for energy for his business, Alaska Canoe and Campground. Finch says he didn't know about the wiretap or the stolen electricity, and that it was the doings of a previous property manager. Homer Electric spokesperson Carrie Ann Baker says it's the second time the campground and RV park has been discovered stealing power.
We're generally not comfortable with anyone diverting energy because what they're really doing, they're not just taking from HEA, they're taking from all of our members because those costs are then passed on to all of us as a collective, as a cooperative. That's how that would work.
Baker says linemen discovered the tap this fall when they went to investigate why a meter display had failed, something that in itself is relatively routine. But while they were at the property, they found evidence of tampering and later discovered what looked like a man-made hole in the ground by an electric transformer pole. Underground, the linemen found two wires that were clamped onto a service line, according to the complaint. When they asked him about the wires, Finch told them an electrician had put them there. Lyman tried to investigate further a week later, but they couldn't, the suit says, because Finch's truck was right over the spot where they found the tampering. Finch, for his part, said it wasn't his truck, and he says he was out of the country at the time. When the lineman returned, the truck had been moved, and when they investigated, they found a service line that had been tapped to divert electric current from the meter to another location on the property. They immediately removed the tampered wires and de-energized the meter, according to the lawsuit. Homer Electric says Finch started diverting electricity in November 2014, bringing the total power taken from the co-op without payment to at least $325,500. The co-op estimates an additional $10,000 in damages to property. Finch says the rewiring is put in by a previous manager of the property, who lived in Sterling and died in 2014. He says he managed the property and paid the bills while Finch was working away from home, and he says he probably tampered with the wires to save money.
Many of the costs that were incurred from the business he had to pay for, and of course the electrical was the biggest bill.
Finch says he didn't know about the diversion or that he wasn't paying what he was supposed to be paying to HEA, since there were so many bills for the property and variability in visitors staying there. He says he wasn't capable of doing that digging, and he says proof of that is he needed HEA's help to fix an electrical issue.
It was something that was bigger than me. I wasn't capable of doing that kind of project, and I just left it to HEA to figure out, or I would have tried to cover my tracks somehow, but I didn't do that.
The suit says the truck parked over the site and the prior instance of tampering show that Finch is guilty. In 2013, Homer Electric caught Alaska Canoe and Campground tampering with meters, which led to three exploded transformers and resulted in damages of almost $39,000. Finch owed an additional $6,000 in lost energy payments. He repaid both those costs and was reconnected later that year. He says the other manager was responsible for that tampering too, but that he paid up because he was the property owner. Baker says it's disappointing that Finch would tamper with the wires a second time, after the co-op let him off on good standing in 2013. While the first instance was above ground, the second was harder to detect below.
Our position is you don't just get wires tamped and tampered with 6 feet underground out of sight of anyone by accident.
Homer Electric says it's entitled to both the value of the damages and three times the value of the electricity that was stolen, close to $1 million total. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. on the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Salmon sperm can replace plastics and enhance lighting. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Salmon sperm is being used to make biodegradable plastic cups in China. Researchers at Tianjin University created the items by extracting DNA from salmon sperm and dissolving it with molecules commonly found in adhesives. It produces a gel that can be made into various forms and freeze-dried. Other applications include plastics for electronics and packaging. Salmon sperm made headlines a few years ago for its ability to intensify LED lights. Dr. Andrew Steckel, a leading photonics expert at the University of Cincinnati, says the magic stems from the double helix shape of salmon DNA.
The double helix has some interesting properties with regard to light emission. Because of the way it is shaped, you can insert light-emitting molecules within it that operate more efficiently.
The sperm comes from wild salmon from Japan, Steckel says, where it's widely harvested for its DNA.
There's DNA everywhere, but you want ideally a starting point that is very rich in DNA.
The organic material is abundant and readily available, he says, and it reduces the need for heavy metals or other hazardous materials.
We have one of the biggest and most competitive industries in America in agriculture and fishing. It produces huge amounts of biomaterials, which can be used in many different ways.
The trend towards biomimetics, or mimicking nature, Steckel says, is inevitable. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, who salutes and says thanks to the men and women fishing across Alaska for their hard work and dedication. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Spring semester classes start at Kodiak College January 10th, and registration is live now. They have in-person classes during the day and evenings, along with online classes and hybrid offerings to fit a variety of schedules and needs. Free placement testing at the college will be offered December 6th through 9th and January 3rd through 6th. Not sure how to pay for classes or what your next steps are to get registered? Call Student Services at Kodiak College at 486-1266 for help exploring scholarships, financial aid, and the registration process. At Kodiak College, you can stay close and go far.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 22nd day of December, the year 2021. Time to get shopping. The sun rose today at 9:53. It will set again at 4:23. That will give us 6 hours and 31 minutes of precious daylight, a gain of 7 seconds. Our record high at this date was 55, set in 1984. Our record low is 5, set in 1954 and 2006. Currently 34 degrees out at the airport, with calm winds out there. We're looking for a 20% chance of rain for the rest of the afternoon, but partly sunny skies otherwise. High near 44 with southwest winds to 15, could gust as high as 25. Mostly cloudy, will turn to clear skies tonight, low of about 34 tonight. Winds turning to the west and increasing to 35 miles per hour after midnight, and they're going to continue to blow on Thursday. They're going to blow in some sunny skies and a high near 40, but blow up to 40 miles per hour tomorrow. Mostly clear skies on Thursday night, the low around 35. West winds continuing at 25. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 3:14 this afternoon. That will be a 9.1-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:06 p.m. of -0.3 foot. Our next high tide will be at 4:48 a.m., a 7-foot tide, and our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will occur at 9:55 a.m. and be 3.5 feet. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 3:44 this afternoon. That'll be a 13.9-foot tide in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 10:34 p.m. of -0.5 foot. Your next high tide will be at 5:02 in the morning and be a 12-foot tide, followed by a low tide on the west side at 10:35 tomorrow morning. That will be a 5.1-foot tide. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Gale warning tonight and Thursday. Westerly winds increasing to 30 knots this afternoon, seas to 10 feet. And for tonight, those westerly winds increasing to 35 knots, seas building to 12 feet. For tomorrow, west winds 35 knots, seas 12 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait on our west side, gale warning through tonight with southwest winds at 20 knots increasing to 35 knots this afternoon, seas building to 8 feet this afternoon. For tonight, west wind to 35 knots, seas to 9 feet. And for tomorrow in the Shelikof, west wind to 30 knots, seas at 8 feet. For inside waters, Chiniak Bay, gale warning for Thursday. Variable less than 10 will become southwest 20 this afternoon and turn to the west and go to 30 knots tonight. Seas building to 5 feet by tonight in Chiniak Bay. For tomorrow, west wind to 35 knots and seas to 6 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, small craft advisory tonight and Thursday. West wind to 20 knots, seas building to 4 feet this afternoon. For tonight, west wind to 30 knots and seas to 7 feet in Marmot Bay. And for tomorrow, west 30, seas 7. There are only a few days left for you to put a present under KMXT's Giving Tree. The presents will go to Brother Francis Shelter and Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center clients. You can really make someone's holiday a little brighter. Please bring your gifts to KMXP by 2 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we'll make sure they get to the shelter and the center. All you have to do is come in. The tree is just inside the door, and there are some ornaments with some very inexpensive and practical gift items. Go out and buy them and bring them back wrapped and make someone's Christmas. The Alaska Marine Safety Education is offering 2 fishing vessel drill conductor classes starting on Monday, December 27th, going through the 28th, with a pool session on the 29th. Classes will meet at the UFA Seafood and Marine Center on 118 Trident Way over in Near Island. They are meeting at 8 a.m. on Monday, 8 a.m. on Tuesday, and they will be meeting at the pool on Wednesday. The class will cover cold water survival skills, EPIRBs, signal flares, and mayday calls, man overboard recovery, firefighting, flooding, and damage control, dewatering pumps, immersion suits and PFDs, helicopter rescue, life rafts, abandoned ship procedures, emergency drills, and an in-the-water practice session. These drill conductor workshops meet the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels, where they are required. Bring your friends and family to the Aleutic Museum this holiday season to enjoy their exhibits. Matson has generously sponsored free admission for everyone in Kodiak through December 23rd, so you have one more day after today. Everyone is welcome. They are open noon to 4 p.m. and located at 215 Mission Road. The Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary have put their Angels of Love holiday trees at the hospital. Each angel placed on the trees bears the name of a person being honored or remembered. The angels remain on the trees through the holiday season and can be obtained for a $10 donation. All donations are placed in the Auxiliary's scholarship fund to offer scholarships to individuals pursuing a career in healthcare. You can make your donation at the hospital admissions desk. If you were born in 1957, you're eligible for Medicare starting in January. There's a 7-month initial enrollment period when you turn 65 to sign up for Medicare. This initial enrollment period is very important. Please contact the Senior Center at 486-6181 for more information.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org. Thank you.